for that. And with that, I want to encourage you this morning to take your Bibles to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There has been a recurring theme that has been going through my mind and heart, actually even before we moved to Liberia. And something that the Lord has used, especially when we first moved to Liberia, just to encourage me, to give me strength, and to help in those difficult times, in those valley times. And it's something that I want to share this morning. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Next Level Grace. Next Level Grace. And the text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And so this passage has kind of been playing on repeat in my mind over the last year, over the last 5 years. Just this past week, last week Saturday, marked 5 years since we moved to Liberia. So that's obviously a pretty big milestone in our lives, pretty exciting of what God has been doing. But we realize that as we face difficulties, we face trials, we face any kind of situation, that we are dependent on God's grace. And I know people have, even as we've been going through this whole situation with Emmeline, many people have said, you know, I don't know how you can manage. I don't know how you can deal with it. And it's just, I just always say, by God's grace. It's by God's grace that we can do this. And it is necessary. You know, and I think about just life in general. And you might look at someone else's life, and maybe I'm the only one that does this, but maybe you look at someone else's life and you think, you know what, I would like to trade places with them. They seem to have an easier time of things. You know, everything just seems to go smoothly in their life and don't seem to have much problems, and everything just, anything that they try to do, it's a success. And here I am just floundering and flailing and feeling like everything's falling apart. And you think, God, why do you have me in this situation? I know I've thought about that as a missionary. Obviously, there's missionaries all around the world, right? And so I may look at a missionary that's, let's say, called to Europe. And I know that there's many challenges of being a missionary to Europe. But yet, on one level, the comforts, the conveniences of North America are all there. And I can very easily, in my heart, and I'm just being open and transparent this morning, very easily in your heart you can think, man, I wish that God had called me to a mission field like that. Where, you know, my wife is not having to wash her clothes in a bucket like this, or where the power is on 24/7 and it's reliable, and you can always depend on the power being there, where you're not having all your equipment fried by power surges. Or you think of you know, even just the traffic issues or the different cultural issues and things like that. And so it's very easy to do that. And one day, as I was kind of, I guess, having a pity party, the Lord brought this passage to my mind. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I thought about, then I thought about the opposite of that. I thought about the missionaries who were in Liberia 50 years ago, 70 years ago, when there were no roads to get to where they wanted to go. And so they would hike two weeks through the jungle to get to the community where they were going to minister to. No power at all. Not even unreliable power. No power at all. No internet, no cell phone service. They, you know, everything was by mail and all that kind of stuff. And here I am in the capital city of Monrovia, where I have a grocery store right next door. It's expensive, but pretty much anything we want for the most part is there. And so then I started thinking, wow. I started feeling guilty for having the feelings that I had feeling about feeling sorry for myself. But then again, God spoke into that moment and said, my grace was sufficient for them too. So no matter which where you are in that spectrum, whether you are, you know, maybe nobody here is in that, maybe whether you're in that part of your life where everything seems to be going smoothly and easily and no challenges, no problems, or whether you are feeling like you're at the bottom of the deepest valley you've ever been in and you've never, and everything is just dark all around you, God's grace is sufficient in every one of those situations. And that's the conclusion of this study, but it's also my opening, exhortation from it. And so I've got five different things here that I want to very briefly, see through this passage about God's grace and just how God leads us along the path of living in His grace, living in His strength. And the first, level of grace that I have here is the grace to recognize your weakness. And I see that in verse 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul's weakness, as many of us can empathize with, was that of pride. Pride is mentioned by name over 100 times in the scripture, and the Bible is filled with examples of those who were cut down by pride. Even in helping a brother who was overtaken in the fault, we are told to consider ourselves because we may also be tempted. And so you think of the Apostle Paul, you would think that a man of God of such a stature as the Apostle Paul, you think certainly he would have conquered this issue of pride. That the struggle of pride wouldn't be a problem, but yet he realized that pride was still an issue. No matter who we are, pride is always lurking around the corner. We say, well, I don't struggle with pride. Watch, that's probably even pride just there as you're saying that, you know. And so, but the Apostle Paul, he recognized this is something that I have struggled with. This is a weakness of mine, and so God allowed this situation to come into his life to help him gain control over that area of his life. But maybe it's true. Maybe pride isn't something that you deal with. Maybe it's just something else. But the reality is it doesn't really matter what our weakness is. We all do have weaknesses. And God's grace that we will receive is in some measure dependent on our willingness to admit that we have a problem. To admit that we need His grace. That we are weak in this area. That we have, some shortcomings or shortfalls. I think about Gideon and his men. And we often look at that passage of scripture, Gideon and his army, and how God said, okay, well, this army's too big, you need to cut it down some. And so first of all, he says, all right, everybody here who is scared or just wants to go home to mama, you can go. And so it went from 30,000, 33,000 or however many, some over 30,000 soldiers to around 10,000. And God looks at the 10,000 and says, no, it's still too many. Now I want you to give another test. Take them over to this brook over here and let them drink some water, and then I'll give you more instructions. And so they went over to the brook, and there were two different approaches to that drinking exercise. Some of the men just went down on all fours and just lapped straight out of the river. And 300 of them kneeled down like this and just picked up and drank out of their hand, cupped their hand, and drank like that. And God said, okay, the 300 that lapped out of their hands, those ones are the ones you keep, the rest you send home. And I never really thought about why God had chosen those people. But as I was looking at it more closely, I came to realize that those who had dipped their lips into the water, they were so self-confident that they ignored the risk and dangers around them. They just put their faces down. They had no awareness. The enemy could have come up behind them and could have taken them captive instantly. Those other ones, they were not afraid because they didn't go home in the first batch, but yet they recognized the weakness and the danger, and so they were always on guard. And I think as believers, it's so important that we're always on guard. We can never get to the point where we say, you know what? I have this. I can handle this. You know, I think about years ago, I used to play a video game on my tablet. It's like a tank playing game. You have seven other players, and you go out and you'd go on this virtual battlefield, and you would play. And there was seemingly always one person on the team that had this "you only live once" mentality, and so they would just, as soon as we start, they would just go full speed towards the enemy tanks, and before anybody else could come there to back them up, they were gone. They were totally destroyed. Why? Because they didn't have caution. They weren't aware of their weaknesses. They weren't aware of their failures. And in the Christian life, we have to recognize our weakness. If we're going to be recipients of God's grace, we need to realize or to recognize our weakness. Number two, also in verse 7, to realize the grace to realize that God is at work. In verse 7, it says that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Notice that it was a messenger of Satan that was given to him to buffet him, but yet it was God who had allowed or placed that into his life. And I think we have to recognize that even in those difficult moments, those moments where we need God's grace, that God is at work in that moment. In fact, God allowed you to experience that moment. Now that might be a little disconcerting sometimes, but God, we believe, amen, that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that God has his hand. You look at the story of Job. Could Satan do anything to Job without God's permission? No. And yet, here's another illustration of that. If you look through the whole book of Job, 42 chapters, you will never hear Job say one thing about blaming Satan for his problems. Even though it was Satan that was behind it, the whole thing, even with his friends, they're always talking about the relationship with God. Why? Because they recognize that even though Satan may have been behind it and trying to do these things, that God had allowed it for a purpose. And so we have to recognize that and realize that no matter what we're going through, God is the one that is allowing it in our lives for a reason. To grow us. To make us more like Christ. To maybe to help us in a certain area of weakness. You know, many times we think, and as something we is extremely pronounced in Liberia, that if something good happens, or something that I think is good, that I feel is good, that's a blessing from God. And if something bad happens, then that's, you know, the work of the devil. Something that I don't like, oh, that's the devil. No. God is in everything. And God is allowing those things to shape us and to mold us, but we need the grace to realize God is at work in our lives. Whatever we're going through, whatever valley we're in, God is at work in that valley. Number three, grace to respond in prayer. Verse 8 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Sometimes, and maybe you're different than I am, a lot of times I'm tempted to try to solve my problem myself. I was raised with that mentality in our home, in our family. We're do-it-yourselfers, and don't ask people for help. Just find out a way, figure out how to do it. I remember when I when I first got hired at Bendit, and I was working on the CNC break, and the guy who was managing the shop at the time was going to train me on there. And so he came and showed me some things or whatever and then said, okay, you know, you start, and then if you have any questions, then come and ask me. And 3-4 hours went by, he comes out, he's like, you don't have any questions? Like, no, I've got it. I figured it out. Because my mind is just programmed not to ask, just to figure it out, just to always do everything yourself, figure it out. And, you know, that might work in some ways in the physical realm, but that's a detriment in the spiritual realm. Because we can't figure it out. We are dependent on God. And if we try to figure it out ourselves, we're probably going to end up having a much sharper learning curve than what we would have to otherwise. And the Apostle Paul came straight to God in prayer and said, God, this is my problem. He didn't try to solve it himself. He didn't try to fix it himself. God, this is my problem. Would you take the problem from me? Would you take this away from me? And obviously we'll see by the response that God allowed him to keep that. But the next level is to respond in prayer. Number 4, from verse 9, grace to receive strength. In verse 9 it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Once you recognize your weakness, you can receive God's strength. As long as you are full of your own strength and trying to do it in your own power and in your own might, God's going to be surprisingly absent from the picture. You say, God, where are you? I'm right here, but I'm waiting for you to include me in this problem. As long as you're fighting to solve your own problems, as long as we're trying to work everything out ourselves, God says, okay, all right, I'll let you. And then finally we come to the end of ourselves, I can't do it. If you're a parent, you probably know what this is like. Little kid, independent, fiercely independent, like our little Bethany. Oh, she's so independent. I do it myself. She doesn't have a clue how to do it. But I do it myself. Okay, do it. And she'll try. I can't do it. Can you help me? Okay, yeah, I'll come and help now. But many Christians, myself included, maybe that's where Bethany gets it from, are, I do it myself, God. I'll take care of this myself. I can't do it. Can you help me? Grace to receive strength. We have to be willing to accept it. Strength is received by those who admit their weakness. Strength is always enough, but not so much that you would begin to think the strength is yours. Tomorrow's trial will require different and often greater strength than you are receiving today. When you think you have reached your limit, sometimes the load gets heavier so that you have to depend on God afresh for the grace he freely gives. When we got to Montreal, I breathed a sigh of relief. Because I felt like, okay, I can relax now. The stress is over, the travel's over, just go through our quarantine, get back to Manitoba, and we're all done. God, thank you for the grace. And at that moment, I kind of felt like God could just turn his grace valve off because I didn't need it anymore. Not realizing that 6-7 hours later, I was going to need that valve wide open again. Just when we may think that, okay, well, we've made it through this valley. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, God, I'm good. I got it from here. I'll take it. As soon as we think that we're okay, might need to watch out because he may allow us to go through something else until we recognize that every day we need his grace in the smallest area, in the biggest area, every area in between. Then the last level, and this one is a challenge. This one is, the other ones are difficult. This one is just like, if you have 1, 2, 3, 4 here, 5 is somewhere way up here. It's like a quantum leap or something from the other 4. Because level 5 is grace to relish in the trials. In the last part of verse 9 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes this, most gladly, what was that word gladly? Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then in verse 10 he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Those other 4 that we just talked about, those ones, they're beginner and intermediate level grace. This one is like super hard level. When you can come to a challenge, come to a difficulty, come to a trial, and to be thankful for that trial. It's one thing to be thankful in the trial. It's another thing to be thankful for the trial. Some people say, well, I can, in everything give thanks. Yes, the Bible says in everything give thanks. But the Bible also says, for everything give thanks. That means for whatever trial it is. For what, actually saying, God, thank you for Emmeline's sickness. That's hard. Especially in the moment. Now that we're through it, okay, or we're through it at least as far as we know so far. She looks okay. Now maybe we can look back and say, God, thank you for that. Thank you for the trial. But what if you're in the middle of it? What if you're still having that messenger of Satan like the Apostle Paul is buffeting him? And to say, God, thank you. Thank you for this trial that you're allowing in my life. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. And if you struggle with this, you're in good company. Or you're at least in the same company as I am. Because this is hard. It's hard to look at a trial and say, God, thank you. It's hard to look at the death of a loved one and say, God, thank you. It's hard to look at a sickness in your own life or in the life of someone close to you and say, God, thank you. It's hard to look at the challenges and everything and say, God, thank you. But this is why the Apostle Paul could get to this point. And this is why we need to get to this point as well. Because he realized that every trial that he faced was an opportunity for him to depend on God and to grow in his faith. We don't grow in our faith primarily in the good times. We grow in our faith primarily in the bad times. And so if God has entrusted you with a trial, if God has entrusted you with a challenge, a difficulty, it's because he wants to do a work in your life. He wants to help you grow in your faith. And when you recognize that and you are satisfied with that, then you can thank God for the trial. But you have to be in that situation where Jesus was before he went on the cross, where we're saying, not my will, but thy will. Because my will is, I want the easy road, and I don't really, in my flesh, I don't really care whether I grow spiritually or not. I just want to have a good life. I just want to have an easy life. But if I'm walking in the Spirit and I have God's will at heart and I want what God wants, then I know that God wants me to grow. God wants me to give glory to Him through this trial. God wants me to become more like Christ through this trial. And so then I can say, God, thank you for giving this to me because your purposes are being accomplished in my life through this trial. And so I don't know. I don't know where really we are at this morning. I know where I'm at, where what level of grace I need, where I am in my walk. I don't know what you're facing. By the way, this grace begins with salvation. That's where we first receive God's grace. If we haven't had God's grace, received God's grace for salvation, then God's grace for the trials is also going to be absent from our lives. Then we're fighting everything on our own. But if we've received, as Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, that's where God's grace begins. And then as we receive His grace for salvation, now we need to live in His grace. Now we need to apply His grace, and every time we face a situation, and even when we're not, even when everything's going smoothly, we still need His grace. We still need God's grace. And so, I guess I just want to leave that lesson. I hope that as you read this passage in the future, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, that anytime you're going through any kind of difficulty, challenge, you would remember, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. That phrase has been ringing through my ears for the last 5-6 years now. And there's probably no other phrase in the Bible that has brought me more comfort and strength over the last 5 or 6 years than that phrase. And I hope it will be one that will find its place in your heart and in your mind, that no matter what you face in your life, you will know that God's grace is sufficient for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your unmerited favor, Your goodness to us that we do not deserve. Lord, the strength that You give us to live every day, but especially to continue on through challenges and obstacles and difficulties. Lord, I pray that You would be with each one who's here. Lord, I don't know what they are facing today, but You do. Lord, You know where they are as far as where we all are, as far as our grace, where Your grace is being given to us and where it's needed. Lord, I pray that we would depend on You for the grace that You freely give. And Lord, may we rest in the truth that Your grace is always sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray.